and welcome to the Student Ministry Conversations podcast with your hosts, Brent Aiken, David Pruitt, and Russell Martin. This podcast is all about equipping, encouraging, and inspiring youth pastors weekly with topics that are brought to the table by youth pastors from all over the world. And now, here's your host for this week, Brent Aiken. Hey, and welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time listening to us, we want to welcome you and invite you over to our website, studentministryconversations.org, where you can find all of our previous episodes, show notes, blog articles. Our goal is that you are inspired, encouraged, and the things that you hear on this podcast can equip you to be a better student pastor for the church that you are serving in. Today, we are sitting down with Dave. And Dave, oh my gosh, man, like, you do so much. Like, just go ahead, spill the beans, man. Tell us everything you're involved in, anything you want to share. Who is Dave other than, I mean, the guy that I'm talking to right now?
Well, thanks, Brent. Thanks for having me. Dave Hootke. Last name looks like Chowka, pronounced Hootke. And so, never easy there. I'm the executive director of Lead 222, which is a youth ministry coaching and mentoring organization. So we coach and mentor youth pastors to lead healthy lives, healthy families, and ministries. So I was a student pastor for 14 years, been a part of student ministry over 20 years now as being involved in it, coaching and mentoring. And so love student pastors and going after reaching this next generation. And so been married 24 years, will be 25 this summer. And I've got three teenagers. One actually just turned 20. He's a sophomore at Purdue University, and then two girls that's 17 and 15. And so, man, I'm very blessed. I'm here in the north side of the Indianapolis area, and grateful to be doing what I'm doing, and grateful to have this conversation with you, Brent.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so today the conversation is going to be basically kind of geared around your life, but your life in a way that, like, you've had experiences that you wrote a book. And so we're going to kind of take what that book is about and have it as our theme for today. And the theme is walking through the valleys. And so obviously there's a lot to unpack with that. But why don't you just start us off with a little bit of a maybe a reasoning on why you wrote the book?
Yeah.
And then if that goes into your story, man, let it go. Like, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was October of 2019, and I had been unemployed for the last 6 months. I had resigned from the church I was at in February, and was part of two great churches, and went out to Colorado and experienced, church hurt and leadership hurt, and resigned. And honestly, Brent, I didn't know if I was going to go back into ministry. And my wife said, well, why don't you take a sabbatical for a little bit, which was a great idea. And here I was in Colorado and got to spend some time in the mountains. So it's a good idea. And really sought the Lord and just knew, like, my heart was still ministry, and that's what I wanted to do. And so, went through the process, where you start looking and, you think it's going to happen faster than it does. And so it can be a long process. And especially after you've gone through something painful and you have eyes now to see, different things. And I didn't want to move my family across the country again into something that could be a risk or something unhealthy again. And so, it was a lot of no's for me, and it was a lot of no's from the other end, because, if I'm honest, I was hurt, and so a lot of those things were probably leaking out, as I interviewed. And I just remember of October, God just said, start writing. And, I didn't have any creative outlet, being a student pastor for a long time, being creative, being campus pastor, being involved in ministry, there's a lot of creative outlets and, writing messages or curriculum and different things. And so God just said, start writing. So I got an outline, and it was teach me from this valley, teach me in this valley, or take me from this valley, teach me in this valley, and transform me in this valley. And just this idea of walking through the valleys, that the only way out is through. And, you know, like for me, when I was in the valleys, I wanted out as fast as possible. You know, like,
yeah,
just get me back to what's safe and comfortable. And so, you know, that was the idea of take, you know, me from this valley. And then we can talk later about teach and transform. But, you know, I started writing and I first thought, man, this will be healing for me. You know, I'm just going to start writing. It'll be healing for me. I can get a lot of this out. And then as it progressed, I thought, well, this will be really good for my kids, you know, to have for my kids. And then as the years went on, because you can't transform through the valley in a fast pace, or, you know, to go through that process quickly. And it took 4 years to write this, Brent, of, you know, God really transforming my life through the valley. And so then I thought, wow, this could really help and bring hope and encouragement to others that are navigating difficult valleys in their own life and ministry as well.
Yeah, no. And so I think I love how you said that we never really want to stay in the valley very long. It's always like, all right, you know, a valley season's fine, but let's let it last like a week and then I'm ready to get out. Kind of
right.
Just this mindset of like wanting to, almost just wanting to say that, like, be in a valley for the sake of saying that we can't, like, we have been in a valley. But other than that, like, we really don't want to touch it. And so I guess what was the significance of having to stay in that valley for a little bit? I mean, obviously, like, awareness has to happen before transformation can happen. And so with this whole thing, with your wife telling you to take a sabbatical and everything in that regard, like, what was the kind of mindset that you had when you were in that valley? And like you said, you were the one that was wanting to get out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, what did that look like? How did you, I mean, what did God begin to use you for in that sabbatical? Or what did he begin to teach you to take you from that take, like, through the valley to the transformation in the valley stage?
You know, I mean, it was a lot of years, honestly, Brent, that led to that, of a lot of different, you know, valleys and seasons and difficult things. You know, I went through the diagnosis of my dad getting brain cancer and then losing him. And then I was in two car accidents and had some really bad concussions and long recoveries. And we dealt with, you know, some transitions, and then we transitioned out to Colorado and that didn't go well. And then, you know, resigning, and then you're going through unemployment. And I think, you know, when you're figuring out, like, you're walking down a road that, you know, you've never been, or down unknowns, or you're dealing with discouragement, you know, and, you know, different things that you thought your life would be, and it totally just goes sideways. And, you know, you get to that place and it can be confusing. You know, it's like, man, what is happening? Because everything that, you know, I thought was the paradigm of how I'm living my life just gets totally flipped upside down, and you're just left kind of scrambling. And so I think walking in that valley of, you know, all of those different, you know, seasons, I wanted to get out. You know, I think most of us can relate to that. It's like you deal with something, whether it's, you know, provoked or unprovoked, and we go down these seasons and valleys that are very difficult. We want out. I mean, I think that's just human nature. We want to get back to what's safe, what's comfortable. And when that wasn't happening, Brent, it was then getting to this point of like, okay, God, like, you know, I just need to come to you. And then the question started to change of like, get me out of this, or how can I make a way out? Right. I think that's something that, you know, we try to do, is like, we just try to make a way. Like, for my family, I want to make a way, or for ministry, or whatever it is. Like, we want to solve the problem, and we want to make a way out of it as fast as we can. And unfortunately, there's no fast passes, yeah. You know, like, And so I had to, like, then, you know, move, and it really just began in my quiet time, Brent, of God, okay, this isn't happening for me. What is it that you want to teach me? You know, what do I need to learn about myself, about you? And And really that started that transition of God really starting to move in my heart and mind that there was a lot of things he actually wanted to teach me and move into my life and my family's. And so that was kind of that transition and that thought process.
Yeah. So it really seems like you, for lack of a better word, kind of took out, you were kind of escaped the mindset of get me out of here to like, man, I'm here. So I have to trust.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's, man, that's, I think we've all been there. I think in some season of life, whether you're a youth pastor that's just starting and you're like, man, I have no idea what's going on. Or you've been a veteran for 10 plus, 20 plus years and you hit the COVID time that everybody else did. And it was just like, well, nothing works. Like yeah. we gotta do something.
That's
like,
right. Yeah.
And so I think we've all hit that season where it's just like, all right, like you are sovereign. You are good. I'm here. Like, and that's right. About all I can say. And so what is it? I mean, what did it mean to you to kind of build up that trust? What did it mean to kind of, I guess, I mean, when you talk about like seasons through the valley and stuff, like I can't help but think of the story of Job. Just the mindset of like, Job's like, look, I've done everything. Like I was not wrong. I'm not like, why is this happening to me kind of thing like that. And I obviously there's some of that comes to play into this, but how did you go from the mindset of like, man, I'm done trying to run. I just need to be here. How did that trusting process begin to kind of take place other than your quiet time? I mean, obviously that's important. But like you went through some tough seasons. You said you had your dad, get brain cancer and then passed away, car wrecks. I mean, there has to be a lot of trust that has to build through those processes or through those just different events of, man, terrible circumstance.
I know. I think one, you know, a big moment, you know, early on too, when I was, had the first car accident and I had a concussion and I tried to go back to work too early. And then I ended up getting post-concussive syndrome and which then it just delays the healing process much longer. But in the beginning, after that, I was just in the basement because anytime I got on my phone or, you know, I did anything with screens, like it would lead to anxiety. Like my body just couldn't handle it. And so it led to me like, you know, in the basement for about, you know, 5 days of just trying to do like no lights and low stimulation and that kind of thing. And I just remember getting really honest with God, you know, like just really honest and raw and letting him have it too of like, you know, this is where I just feel let down. You know, I'm so discouraged. And it really kind of, you know, later on I realized it's like David, you know, just in these emotions, being able to really vent and cry out. And I think for so long, and maybe a lot of us can relate, where a lot of times we think we have to have it all together. We have to even portray it to God in a way. And that was transformational to me, of being able to really move to such an authentic relationship with God that, you know, really was deepening my trust in him. And, and so I just encourage everybody too, like, man, forget that sanitized prayers and like portraying that we have to have it all together. I think we got to get honest. We got to get real. And, you know, a verse that meant a lot to me in that valley season was Proverbs 3:5-7. And in the Message version, it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own, which was so powerful for me to hear that. It says, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. And man, I just kept pouring, you know, myself meditating on that. And so I would just say, like, you know, being able to get really authentic with God in that basement season was powerful. And, you know, as we went through the valleys too, Brent, I would say, you know, as you're dealing with, you know, teenagers, right? Like we had teenagers And then we're dealing with church hurt, and we just had to be really honest. And Dawn and I said from the very beginning that we have to set the temperature. Like, how we handle these valleys and how we handle church hurt and all this kind of stuff is how our kids most likely are going to respond as well.
Yeah.
And I remember getting the girls together when I had resigned from the church, and they were like, you know, 10 and 12 at that time. And we got together and I shared with them. And so we started talking. We're like, cause we love to go out to eat, Brent. We love, you know,
sure.
Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, Culver's, the three C's we kind of stay by, but, and also like really nice restaurants. Like when we lived out in Colorado near Boulder, I mean, there's a lot of foodies, you know, and some great restaurants out there. So we started talking about that. And I said, girls, I said, you know, when we go out to eat and we have a bad experience, it doesn't mean that, you know, we stop going out to eat. Now, we're probably not going to go to that restaurant again, but yeah. We're not going to stop going out to eat. And I said, you know what? We had a bad experience with this church and we're not going to go back. But we love the church and we're going to continue to serve the church.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that looks like. And so we had to let the girls and then my son be able to share too and communicate like how they're feeling and the anger and then we're going to have to move again and all those things. And so I think, you know, being able to get really authentic and real with God, we were able to do that as a family. And be able to lean into God together and lean in together as a family in a real and authentic way that really helped us navigate through the valleys together.
Yeah. And I think that's a significant thing is a lot of times when we face those valleys, I know, especially from the, I guess, provider side of it. A lot of times we look at it as like, no, I'm just going to tackle this and like, y'all don't have to worry about this. But I think there's tremendous significance in like including family in this whole process.
Yeah.
And I love how you said like you set the thermostat, you set the temperature on how they're going to react when a church does something to them in the future. Because as unfortunate as it is, it is something that's probably going to happen because churches are made of people and people are not always the nicest. I love that family dynamics, like adding that into the healing process, allowing them to voice, and allowing them to be a part of the conversation with that happening is super, super important. And so you've experienced church hurt, you've resigned from a church. For those navigating church hurt, and I guess leadership hurt, what advice do you have to navigate that?
You know, this was so amazing too. So like, this is just the power and the amazing thing about our God, you know, like, so I resigned in February, but before that in, October, November, I woke up, Brent, at 5 a.m. in the morning, and I'm a morning person, but I'm not a 5 a.m. type of person. And I just felt like the Lord say, get up, I've got something to show you. And I felt like this disobedient spirit if I didn't. So I got up, you know, made my coffee, got to have my coffee in the morning. And then I went to my chair where I had my quiet time. And I was just like, okay, Lord, you know, I'm here. You know, what do you have to say to me? And after, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, I felt like the Lord just say, your significance is not in what you do. Your significance is not in what you do. And I got my journal and I wrote this down. And I just felt like the Lord just say, like, you know, your identity is not being a pastor. It's being a child of God.
Yeah.
Like, your encouragement doesn't need to come from your supervisor. It needs to come fully from me.
Yeah.
And I just wrote all this down and it was so powerful to me treasured that. And then I resigned. And then my first Sunday, Brent, I'm not employed at a church for, you know, 20 years of my career. And we had made the decision to like, okay, we'll go attend this one church. And so we ended up driving and attending this church and worship was amazing. And then they end up going into the message and it was all about your significance is not in what you do. And I was just like a mess, dude.
Yeah.
I like just crying. Avery, my daughter, was like, Dad, are you okay? And I'm like, yes. And But it was amazing. God prepared, you know, months earlier for this moment, and for me to understand, like, even when I'm not employed, I'm not on staff at a church, I have no idea what my future holds. My identity is not in what I do or in my performance.
Yeah.
And I would just say, you know, for a lot of us that have navigated this, or if you're going through it right now, it's so easy to put our identity in what we do. And when that, and when we do, and something like this happens, it just, you know, wrecks us. It breaks apart on that foundation, and it can be so confusing. And it's like, what are we going to do? And so I just encourage us, you know, like, you know, I'm just reminding all of us, our identity is in Christ first. You know, we love being youth pastors. We love being pastors. We love being able to pour into people and to share the gospel, right? That is such an amazing thing that we get to do, but it doesn't define who we are in that way. And so I would just say, in the first thing is making sure, like, man, my identity is in Christ first, because, you know, out of that is then how I was able to take one step and move forward. And I would say, wherever you're at, like, you know, there's a lot of hurtful things that can happen, and, you know, and different things, but leave well, leave as well as you can. And, you know, love people out the door. Because we can only control the controllables, and that's us. We can't control what other people are going to do. We can't control what other people are going to say. You know, I had to even give up, like, Lord, if people are saying, like, you know, stuff about me, you know, whatever, I have to give that over to you. Like, even my reputation, God, I'm trusting, you know, that you've got my reputation, that you've got, you know, you're in control of that. And so, and then I would say, you know, you got to be able to have people in your life, mentors, people that can walk alongside you. Don't do this alone. Please hear me on that. Don't walk through this alone, because it can totally feel like that. You know, I had to sign a non-disclosure, and you know what? It felt very lonely. Yeah. And as I walked through that, I had to realize, like, listen, I'm not alone. You know what? And I can be able to find, you know, a few trusted people to walk alongside this with me, to pray with me, to give me wise counsel. So I would say those things, Brent.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love just the mindset of having to realize, I mean, because like you said, when you have this significance kind of based in, I guess, your profession or based in your job or... and sometimes that doesn't always necessarily mean that, like, oh, I'm a pastor, but it also means, like, I'm providing for my family. Mm-hmm. It means, man, I'm supporting my wife through this. Like, I'm supporting all these students. Like, it's not even just the mindset of, like, oh, I'm a pastor. And sometimes that makes us feel high and mighty. Don't get me wrong, because I think we've all fallen in that hole a time or two. Sure. But I think that there's a lot of, like, oh, man, like, everybody depends on me and I'm a failure.
Yep.
And so when you hit that moment, it's really, really devastating, toxic. I mean, so many words that really don't even begin to come close to explaining what that is. And I think the thing is with that, though, there's multiple scenarios you can do this. I mean, my last church, I left, I resigned as well. But I resigned in a nature of, like, it was just time for us to leave. There was no hard feelings in our church or anything like that, but it was the same mindset, and almost the same conversation. And I had to come into the same situation of learning to trust God in this. Is my wife approached me and she was like, hey, I've followed you for 7 years. It's time for you to follow me, kind of thing. And so we talked about it. We looked at, like, what this would be moving across Texas, and me leaving a church where I had a vibrant program going. There were a lot of kids, a lot of leaders, everything else. But my wife was like, look, like, God's calling me to do things too.
Yeah.
And so we moved to Abilene, where I am now, and for, like you say, unemployment, for the first 5-6 months that we were here, I had no job. It was just, oh, I can go mow your yard, sure, like whatever, because it was this mindset. But man, God's in the middle of everything.
That's right.
Whether you're in a season of valley, whether you're on a mountaintop, whether you're somewhere in between, God is in everything. And one of the coolest things, I mean, we had already had started talking through this conversation of us moving. I was really, really nervous about it because I was like, look, we have a job. This job provides a house. Like, we had a parsonage, all these things. And then I get a phone call from the previous youth pastor at the church that I'm serving at now. That's like, hey, so I know you're a youth pastor. My brother was at this church at the time going to college, and he was helping out in the youth program. And he was like, I'm looking at leaving, here in the next 6 months to a year. And I really need you. I really want to leave this program in good hands. And so it's just this mindset of like, are you looking for a job to move back into this area? And like, this is where closer to where both of us were from, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just like, man, like I was so nervous, so anxiety driven, so like fearful of like giving up what we had built, all this stuff. And God's like, chill. Like, I got you. Hold on.
Yes.
Just this mindset.
That's
so
right.
I mean, regardless of whether it's a good season or a bad season, whether it's church hurt or you're just leaving in obedience, like God is in the middle of it. And so I think a lot of times when we get into those seasons of church hurt or get into those seasons where it kind of, quite honestly, does not seem fun to be a pastor, and I think we've all had those moments as well, it's really, really easy to kind of lose sight of God in the process. And like the premise behind it, and I mean, it's evident in your story, God is in the middle of it.
That's right.
Sometimes we just need to be still, shut up, and listen.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, I mean, man, what a crazy, crazy thing. I mean, family dynamics, I mean, financials, I'm sure were a mess for a while. All these different things. But this whole story kind of transitions you into what you do now. And so you, like you said, you run an organization called Lead 222. And so tell us about that. What is the purpose? What is the goal? And how did this come to be? I mean, obviously, your experience has brought it, but like, how did this come to be?
Yeah. So, you know, that summer, I just thought, man, I've only been on staff at a church. That's all I've known. And so was looking for those roles. And Bo Shears and is the president of Lead 222. And if you've been in youth ministry a long time, you know him and Doug Fields are kind of the OGs. And so he called me and asked me if I'd be interested in coming on staff. And, you know, I've been a part of Lead for many years, was coached. And he said, you'd have to raise your funds. And I was like, man, I don't want to raise my funds. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't want to do that. And so I said no. And then, you know, months later, November came and we realized like we're going to have to sell our house here in Colorado and move back to Indiana and just kind of regroup and figure out what's next. And so he called back in November and you know, asked again. And I was like, well, you know, nothing has come to be yet. Let me pray about this. So we prayed and fasted. And Brent, I just felt like the Lord say, pursue Lead. And I called up Bo and I said, man, I'm all in. And he's like, well, what about raising the funds? And I said, listen, if God's called me into this, he's going to make it happen. And we had been going without a paycheck for quite a few months already. And man, God was providing. I was seeing him provide, you know, like talk about mowing lawns. I was driving for Lyft and, you know, but we were getting checks in the mail from people that we hadn't even shared our story with. We had somebody pay our mortgage for a couple months. It was amazing how just God was just showing up one step at a time and providing. And so we moved back to Indiana in the beginning of 2020, Brent. And so I started, you know, fundraising and we were living in the basement of some friends that used to be our youth leaders. And so it's Greg and Deb, and then Deb's 95-year-old mom as well upstairs, and then the whole Hootke family in the basement. And, you know, that's tough, man. Like, that was really tough. And, yeah, you know, tough for my kids. And, like, this isn't what we envisioned life to be. And I just remember, you know, getting the kids together and, you know, us just kind of having a powwow and, you know, being able to share our, you know, feelings and talk about it. And then just understanding, like, you know, God's not done with us. And I think that's something we have to hear, is like, your valley is not your destination.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think sometimes, I think sometimes we think like these seasons are going to be forever. And we have to be reminded, like, man, it's not going to be forever. Like, there is hope. We can't listen to the lies of the enemy. We have to really seek the Lord and help him, you know, help us understand, like, God is with us. He's walking with us. He hasn't forgotten us. He's still at work. And so I started raising my funds, and then COVID hit. But I still raised my support. We bought a house in June and you know, moved in. And so I've been serving with LEAD, you know, the last 4 years. And so, you know, it's amazing. Like you said, Brent, God was at work. And sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't feel it. And sometimes we don't believe it. But, you know, that's why James talks about, you know, the farmer and the seed. You know, we plant this seed under the soil, and like, God is at work. He's at work under the soil. We can't see it, but he is. And I think there's then the part that we have to do, and then trusting that God's going to do his part because he's faithful.
Yeah.
And I had to realize during that time, like, my part was trusting him. My part was leading my family well. My part, you know, was sending out resumes. My part was, you know, just sharing my story and raising support and trusting that God was going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And so we have to do our part, but also believing and trusting, you know, God's going to do his part. He's faithful. He's at work.
Yeah.
And it's just taking one step at a time, you know, it's taking one day at a time and just, you know, believing that, you know, God is at work and he's not done with us. You know, our story is not over. And so that was how I came to be with LEAD, and so yeah, grateful for that.
Well, and that's awesome, because it's kind of a full circle moment. You were the youth pastor that probably was doing a great job. I mean, it's just one of those things where you experienced church hurt that brought in that season of the valley. You went through the valley, transformed in the valley, came back up, and now you are serving youth pastors doing the same thing. Like, and so what a full circle moment.
Yeah.
Which is a great opportunity. And so with that, though, like, specifically on LEAD 222, what do y'all do? What do y'all provide for youth pastors? And how can maybe a youth pastor that's listening to this and they're just like, man, like, this is me. Like, how can they, like, what can LEAD 222 offer them?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for asking, Brent. And so, yeah, we have coaching and mentoring. And so we, you know, just wrote, this year's curriculum, you know, and we're about 6-7 months into it. And we, you know, talked with about 60 youth pastors and went through the process of, like, what are the 9 markers of a healthy student ministry? And then we identified those 9 markers. And so that's our curriculum this year. We cover those 9 markers, you know. And but one thing I love about LEAD 222 coaching and mentoring is that we coach on the inside game and the outside game. And so Bo was, you know, he was a former football coach and big sports, you know, and so some of our language has some of that sports analogy. But, you know, inside game is our relationship with Jesus, you know, and our marriage. You know, if you are married, you know, we need to have a relationship with Jesus, and we need to have a healthy marriage. And so we focus in on that, because where do most people, you know, unfortunately, get out of the game is a lot of the inside game. It's our heart. It's our character.
Yeah.
You know, and character outpaces talent every time. And so we've got to make sure that, you know, we are pouring in to our inside game. And so we coach in that. And we also talk about going the last 10% in our coaching, you know, because a lot of times we don't have anybody asking us those last 10% questions. and to have a safe place outside of your church context, and to be able to, you know, that's where the growth happens, you know? Yeah. And then the outside game is our ministry, you know, skills, and, you know, to have kingdom impact, to grow as a leader. And so we coach, and mentor there. And then we have a youth pastor conference. And then we have a marriage conference, and then we do mission trips. And so, we take care of all the details, and you get to bring your students and experience a mission trip, but also a leadership development conference, that we put on. And so, yeah, if you're out there and you feel like, man, I wish I had a community and coaching and mentoring, and that I could grow inside and outside game, you know, look us up, lead222.com, and love to help any way that we can. And then something I started 4 years ago, Brent, is lead staffing. So I help churches hire youth pastors, and then we coach them and plug them in, you know, to lead coaching.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I mean, obviously there's a need pretty much everywhere. It seems like every town is looking for youth pastors, and it seems like less and less people are getting into the field. And so that's a vital thing to have. So, man, such a cool story, such a great moment of transformation, great moment of recognizing and understanding the fact that God is still in the mix, God is still in the picture. And sometimes, just like in your story, man, you just needed to sit down and understand that your significance is not in what you do. What a powerful, powerful statement. And so, this book is all about this story. Obviously, you go into more detail than what you did now. And so with this being said, like, what do you hope, for the readers that do pick up your book, what do you hope that they take away, from reading the book, and then, just kind of the mindset of like you pouring your heart out on the page?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think all of us are going to walk through different valleys, you know, at some point in our life. Unfortunately, you know, that is, you know, the nature of life. And Jesus never promised that it would be easy. He, in fact, said, you will have troubles.
Sure.
But take, you know, courage. I've overcome the world. So we have hope and encouragement that's found in Jesus. And so, you know, my story is, I just want to be able to share hope and encouragement as you walk through the valleys, you know, that you're not alone. And, you know, some of the different things that I navigated and, you know, learned along the way, I pray that it could be, you know, some great hope and encouragement as you go through it and walk through it, and know that your story is not done. Your valley is not your destination. God's not done with you, and he is at work. And, you know, as we navigate this, you know, God's going to use your story to bring hope and encouragement to others. But right now, you might just need, you know, one step today. You know, what's that one step to trust God today? You know, what's that one step, you know, to lean into him and to know that I'm not alone. And, and so, you know, I never desired to write a book, Brent, never thought that would happen, but I'm so grateful to be on this side. And, you know, that this story can, you know, hopefully bring hope and encouragement to others as they walk through their valleys.
Yeah, that, man, totally. And the thing is like you said, everybody has a valley. Everybody has something that they've walked through. And unfortunately, I would say that most people are still in their valleys. A lot of times we look so fast to try and get out of it that we'll even fake ourselves out of the fact that we're actually out of it when we never left. And so that is where it breeds all this church dissension, this church hurt, this church struggle.
I've had a few people reach out to me after reading it and say, Dave, I didn't know I was in the valley. I am.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, one of those things, like sometimes we lie to ourselves and we're so in it and we're so desperate that we'll convince ourselves that we were never in a valley or we left that valley a long time ago, but we never actually addressed the issue. And so, man, what a great opportunity. And I guess, man, my last question is, obviously you've had a lot happen. You have a lot going. And so, like, what do you have, shameless plug, that you have personally going on? Anything through Lead 222 that might be coming out? Anything that you have other than the book? And also, where can we find this book? How can we buy it? All the details of Dave that you want to share.
Oh, man. Yeah, with, you know, LEAD, I think the big thing is, you know, we'll be gearing up with coaching and mentoring, you know, again, starting a new season beginning of September. And so we're writing new curriculum and all that kind of stuff, which is great. So that's coming up. And then I'm leading, you know, some mission trips for LEAD this summer. So we're looking forward to that as well. And then as far as the book, you can find it on Amazon, Walking Through the Valleys. And then if you can spell my name, you can look me up at davehutke.com, even though it looks like Chautka, davechautka.com. And so, yeah, even if you know somebody going through the valleys, this is a great resource and encouragement to give somebody to. And I have In the Valley growth questions, Brent, after each chapter. And what I've found is, you know, there are a lot of people going through this in some small groups. Maybe it's like 2-3, you know, others, and we're going through it and we're processing and we're talking about this, because I think that's where a lot of the growth and that transformation happens, is we're dialoguing on this. We're getting this out in the open. We're talking about this. What is God trying to teach me? How does he want to transform my life?
Yeah.
And I think as we, you know, do student ministry, there's nothing more powerful than a youth pastor going through that process and healing and pursuing Jesus, and then being able to just pour that out into their student ministry.
Yeah.
Right. And helping our students understand, listen, we're going to have tough seasons. There's going to be tough things that we navigate and deal with. But we have a God that walks with us. He is for us. He is fighting our battles, and we can trust him.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, the biggest thing that we can do is we have to believe it ourselves. If we're teaching something we struggle with believing, like, I mean, it's going to be evident that we're not all in on it. So very, very important. But man, like, thank you so much
Thanks, Brent.
Your insight, for your experience, the wisdom that you've shared from it. But that is all the time that we have for the show. If you're a frequent listener of our podcast, all we ask is that you do your part to get our podcast out to the greater student ministry audience. You can share our podcast with your youth pastor friends by sharing on social media, or maybe you just want to share a specific episode that stood out, like Dave's. Either way, be sure to tag us in the conversation by using our social media handle at Talk Student Men. And then finally, if you'd like to be like Dave and be on the show in the future, and Dave is a great example of this, because Dave emailed us and Dave was like, hey, I want to come on. And we're like, great, woo! and so reach out to us on social media or send us an email, podcast@studentministryconversations.org. And we'd love to set up a time that you can come on the show with us, because we have no show without you. If you've listened to us for any bit of time, you know that we have a different youth pastor or a different person as our guest every single episode. And if we run out of guests, we run out of show. And so please, we want to, share everybody's voice into this conversation. And that includes you listening right now. But man, Dave, this has been a awesome conversation. I am, very, very
Thanks
glad that
me.
You reached out. Great opportunity to once again share something that so many people are going through, as we've seen the past 4 years since COVID. I don't remember what it was called, the great resignation or whatever that they talked. I mean, it's still very much a real thing. And the thing is like we talked about just a second ago, a lot of these great resignation people still haven't processed the fact that they're still in the valley from that. And so great conversations to be had. And I'm sure that whoever picks up your book, just is a great, great opportunity to start down that road of healing and recovery. But for everybody listening, we hope that this has inspired you, encouraged you, or you know someone that it might inspire or encourage, and you're willing to share it. But we hope that you have a great week, and we will see you for the next episode.